Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Hey, hey, and welcome back to Season 5, Episode 4 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. Today's topic is about marketing culturally inclusive with someone who is living and breathing it, Noelle Schwarzkopf. I am your host, Alina Velez.
I am your co-host, Beatrice Van.
And we just want to give a really warm welcome to Portland's very own Noelle to the show. So, hey, girl, hey.
Hey, so happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, hey, before we dive into the episode, I just want to give the listeners a little bit about you. So, Noelle is the owner of You Matter Beauty, a skincare studio in Northeast Portland that's dedicated to helping clients achieve healthy, radiant skin. With 9 years of experience as a licensed esthetician and a decade of calling Oregon home, Noelle specializes in results-driven skincare, offering tailored solutions for acne, anti-aging, and overall skin health. She brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise in treating diverse skin types with a particular emphasis on skin of color. Noelle is passionate about empowering her clients through personalized care, education, and effective treatment plans that deliver real results. Absolutely iconic. And you just had a birthday, so we want to shout you out. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday, Noelle.
Thank you, guys. Sagittarius queen.
But Cap season's around the corner. Capricorn season's coming, baby. I'm right behind you.
When's
well,
let's
just dive right in. My birthday, January 10th.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday.
Thank you. A little early, but it's coming. Okay. First question. What sparked your passion for aesthetics, and was there a specific experience that led you down this path?
I wouldn't say there was an experience, but when I first started cosmetology school, I was kind of just young and didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I went for full cause. And once I actually started learning aesthetics, I just really fell in love with it. The science behind it was really interesting. I was kind of naturally good at it. And I'm not naturally good at a lot. That sounds bad. But like, I'm not coordinated with sports or anything like that. So I enjoyed it and I was good at it. So I was just like, yeah, this is the one. I enjoyed most things with aesthetics, but skin has always been the number one thing I really enjoy.
Did you have like a prior career before you decided to go to school?
No, I went to school when I was 20. So after I graduated from high school, I worked retail, and that was absolutely not going to work. So that's how I was like, okay, how can I pivot?
Yeah, been there. I did the retail days too. Were you in like cosmetics or just like retail?
No, I worked at Home Goods. And then at one point I worked at a hotel gift shop. Yeah, no, nothing that was any type of beauty centered.
Yeah, I've worked in retail too. And now when I look back and look at our students and people who do it part-time, I don't think I can ever go back to retail.
Yeah, we deal with people obviously on a regular basis, but dealing with people like that in such a different way, cannot do it. No. And being on my feet, no, cannot do it.
Well, speaking of, pivoting, so now being an esthetician for like the last 9 years, what is the most rewarding part of your job, Noelle?
Honestly, really helping people. Yes, skin transformations is big. Like, it's nice having that gratification and seeing it, but really watching how people's confidence builds has always, it's just the cherry on top. Watching people, sometimes I'll have intense acne clients or cases where they don't want to look in a mirror. You could just tell they're very self-conscious. And by the time things are cleared after that, we've been together for a few years, it's like they're able to look in the mirror. They're taking pictures or taking selfies. And just, I really enjoy watching that confidence blossom.
Yeah, and like the real them coming out of the shell, right? Like
peeling
back the layers and like, oh, this is really you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I try to at all times reiterate, even if you do have acne, whatever we're dealing with, it does not make you any less. Like you're still amazing with acne or without acne.
Yeah. What is your model? Like, I swear, don't you have like a meme or a saying for your business?
So everything is just you matter, period. So I guess that I guess that is kind of
that's
the,
what I mean. Like that's like your model, like your motto. Yeah, you matter.
Yeah, because it's true. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you look like. You know, I know it does to you, but I need you to understand that you're still a good person, unless you're
not. Your value doesn't change. What you bring to the world doesn't change, right?
Exactly.
Perfect. And, you know, I know that you mentioned that you went to school and you did everything. You did full cause and then you found the love for aesthetics. So when you look at your earlier career, what is something you wish you knew?
I wish I knew how the industry really works. I think we all, after school, all feel the same way where it's, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know this. I wish we were just more open about how things work actively, because in school sometimes they make it sound like you're going to get out of here, you're going to graduate, and you're going to immediately start making all the money you need, clients are going to be at your door, this and that. I wish there was just more communication through the whole industry telling people, no, like, you're not messing up, if you're gonna be slow, all of these things are normal. And it, you feel so ostracized when you're going through it and you're starting to build a clientele and trying to build a brand, all of those things. I just wish I knew more what to expect going into it.
The realness.
Yes.
Because they say, I think there's like a statistic that says something about the first 3 years of being an esthetician is usually when people like tap out, but that's when the come up happens, is, you know, a few years in, because it does, you know, you're lucky if you break even your first year.
Exactly. And it really does. And especially with skin, I think it's the hardest to build clientele from, because you don't have that instant gratification. It's usually the most expensive thing. You have to come regularly to see some type of difference, depending on what we're working on. You have to be consistent, where with a lot of other things in aesthetics, you're supposed to be, but you can still get away without being, you know, waxing, you're supposed to be exfoliating, but you can get away if you're not, you know,
right?
Lashes, you're supposed to be washing your lashes, but some people can get away without doing that, you know. With skin, it's like, no, you got, if you're not doing this, girl, we're not getting anywhere.
Right. Oh, that's so true. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So it's just, and again, like that, I didn't really put two and two together when I went into it, especially when I went on my own. So now people, you know, we're freaking out and it's like, oh my God, did I make the wrong choice? Is it me? Am I the problem? And it's like, no, this is all completely natural, unfortunately. This is how it has to go.
Mm-hmm. There's no shortcuts to the success of an aesthetics business, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about how you grew and scaled your business. Do you have any tips for somebody who's starting out? You know, you specialized in skin of color. And so I just wonder how you marketed that and how you grew your clientele with that.
I reached out to different service providers in the area who had a similar clientele or clientele that I wanted. People who were posting things, who their work I believed in. Lots of hairdressers, different lash techs, some nail techs also. And I offered free facials for all of them and then set up some type of referral program. Getting into the community, unfortunately also, like, all the things you read when you first go on your own are all exactly true. Like, getting into the community, niching down, and really becoming the best at one or two things instead of, oh, I can do 15 things. Okay.
Right.
Reaching out to people, again, community, like really just getting out there, putting flyers up, Instagram, marketing, all of that. And again, even that takes time. And that's what's hard too, is you put all of this time and effort into it and it's still going to take a while to get those clients. It's worth it, but those are things that I implemented, and I still do. That's the other thing. I think with this industry, once you get to a certain amount of busyness, you kind of become a little bit too comfortable, but people are constantly moving, especially in Oregon, with all of our contracted Nike and Adidas employees. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, other people are creating businesses that might be closer to these clients, this or that. Like, none of it is guaranteed. So I I do regularly reach out to other hairdressers or new makeup artists or things like that to try to consistently bring in some type of new clientele.
So what I hear you saying is, like, advice to a new esthetician building their business: don't stand still. Always be in the community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I had also seen, Noelle, that you threw like a really dope, I think it was maybe like a thank you party or something.
Yes, a client appreciation party.
Tell us about that.
I think it was, I honestly never even got a head count, but there were a lot of people there. But it's really important for me to make sure that my clients know how much I appreciate them in every aspect, because without them, I literally could not be doing what I'm doing. Couldn't have my dream job that I'm doing. So it's just really important for me to constantly show affection and appreciation in any way I can. So with the appreciation party, we had swag bags and I had a few different vendors. So people were able to come, have some snacks, have some drinks. We had a massage therapist there, mingle. Portland is so small that so many of my clients know each other because they work together, or that's where a lot of those referrals come from also. And I'm just constantly trying to show people there's a reason why you're coming here, because I know I get that my client's sister is now about to go in school and do skin. But remember, like, what you get if you stay here, it's kind of like my right. idea, you know?
Right. I think that's so important.
Because again, yeah, it's just the nature of the beast that we're going to constantly lose clientele, you know? So it's like, okay, I get you want to leave, but don't.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, I'm sorry, Alina. I feel like myself, like, seeing you grow in the last few years, like, meeting you at a continuing education class, and that's one thing that I've seen you do so much is, like, not only, as Alina mentioned, like, just, like, networking and linking in with the community, but also feeding yourself with education and continue to grow and evolve as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most fun part as an educator, seeing people that you've worked with continue to grow and see how far they've come. And it's so inspiring to see you grow into the esthetician that you are, seeing your content, your social media, like your before and after photos, like everything is just so awesome about it.
Thank you so much. And you know, that means so much coming from you, because you're such a guru at literally all things beauty. And other estheticians I know who you've taught and everything, we're always like, wow, like, if we ever have questions, just text me, because she's going to know. Whatever the question is, she's going to know the answer.
Well, if I don't know all the answers.
You do.
If I don't know it, I will look for the answers. And that's the great thing about Spectrum, is that I have so many great colleagues that I can lean on and ask questions to and get answers for you guys. But I don't know all the answers.
You do. But I think that's really important, too, with aesthetics and solo estheticians and hairdressers, all of it, is getting into your own community too of fellow estheticians. And we obviously are seeing people every day, but it's still a lonely job if you're solo. So seeing other people and talking to them and hearing that, okay, we're all dealing with the same thing right now, whether it be a bad client or just a bad month, or, hey, have you ever had this happen to you? Yeah, this is how I got out of it. That's really important. And I don't think a lot of people, I know a lot of Estes who don't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kind of gatekeep or, not as willing to help out and share information, for sure. For sure. Community is huge. Well, kind of pivoting a little bit, what are some tools and products that you feel are essential in your practice for your practice and your demographic?
Well, obviously product, but something that I don't do, or I'll never carry a product if it doesn't have a full range for every fit. So there's different product lines out there where, oh, this SPF, no matter what, is not going to show up, then we're not going to carry it. Makeup that only goes to a fits 3 or 4, we're not going to carry fits 1 through 3 just because they have it. Like, everything has to be completely all inclusive. So that's always been very important to me. Then, honestly, I just feel like with estheticians, yes, we have all of our devices and our tools and everything, but at the end of the day, we can do this job with just our hands, and I think those are the most important tools we have.
Oh, that's because beautiful.
Because they're versatile.
It's so true. Yeah.
You know? I mean, we could take the extraction tools away, and we could still do our, or use our hands. Mm-hmm. We could take the... Like, I have the Glow 2 device, and it has a massage handpiece on it. We could take that away, and I could still massage. And especially if I'm using different serums, then I'm still infusing the skin. You know, we could do a physical exfoliation. Like, the hands are just always going to be that number one, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, because I came from a background of Aveda. And mm-hmm. so with that, you know, they strive in talking about the power of touch. And I think that's something that with all the fancy machines, although I do love a fancy machine, don't get me wrong, but, you know, like we do forget that, you know, there is the power of touch, that we have these hands to treat and heal people. And I think sometimes we take that for granted as estheticians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be overwhelming, especially if you're just starting out. And with social media, it's like, well, I have to have these big machines. There's nothing. If I don't, then I'm not good enough, or I'm not going to get the results, or this or that. And it's like, no, at the end of the day, our hands, if that's all you have, it is enough, you know?
I love that. You kind of talked about, you know, making sure that you found brands and lines and companies that were inclusive and diverse. And so, like, kind of pivoting to another question is, like, what do you think is the biggest misconception you've encountered about culturally inclusive marketing?
I think a lot of marketing will just have, like, they'll have diverse faces on the marketing, but then you actually go and start using things, and it's like, well, that actually doesn't make sense. Or in order for this person to use it, they have to use it so slow and so little that it still doesn't make sense. It doesn't really, I guess technically you could say it's inclusive, but at that point it's not, you know?
Yeah.
Being intentional and creating a space where people actually feel seen and valued and respected, that's the best way to actually portray that inclusivity. Like, yes, it's nice to see people who look like me, but also hearing their stories and marketing that as well. Having them be your, or having them help you get clients, and having that referral, and having them talk about, hey, like, she knows what she's talking about. I felt really good about it. In Oregon, there's so many clients who have had so many bad situations just because estheticians aren't doing the education they need to. And they're using these products that say, oh, you can use it on, if it's whatever, it's fine. There's no education, there's no background. So now this client has had some type of bad reaction. It's like, there's got to be more than just looking and seeing a face that looks like mine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And just better education and kind of like what we talked about, just continuing education to mm-hmm. be more aware, to be able to treat. And I think that was a couple episodes ago where we talked about, like, being able to treat all skin, right, Alina?
Mm-hmm. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that so many estheticians in Oregon, because we have such a small population of people of color, I think a lot of estheticians, at least the vibe I get, is, well, I maybe only have one or two POCs. It's not that important for me to know how to treat their skin. And I just hate that stigma or that way of thinking, because it's like, you should just do it either way. Like, you should just know what you're doing instead of not caring because you don't see it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. And then what happens when a person of color does walk through your door and you're like panicking?
Exactly.
I just think we should just always be prepared as skin health professionals. Like, it's skin health. It's not just, mm-hmm. you know, it's not exactly. meant for just one type of person. Like, everybody has skin. And it is our duty to, you know, be well versed in it all. And it's exciting that, like, we are just, like, hitting the tip of the iceberg, and there's still so much to explore in it all. But also, like, we have a lot of work to do, kind of thing, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know what, really, it always just, like, makes me so mad, because it's like, there's so much free education. All you have to do is watch a couple of free videos on YouTube. Like, you could learn easily, you're just choosing not to.
It's so true. And I think that there's a lot more Black and brown people who would receive treatments and who want to receive treatments mm-hmm. and are curious about mm-hmm. it, but don't feel comfortable because, exactly. because they know.
they exactly. know. And not only are they not seeing anybody who looks like them, they're hearing how somebody who looks like them went and got this bad burn reaction, whatever it was. The esthetician is already not a super welcoming. It's just so many factors. And it's like, huh, you know, you don't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. it doesn't. We could change. But OK.
Yeah. And I think that's like one of the biggest thing with Fearless Beauties is that we're trying to continue to create a community where we can reach out to each other and to ambassadors and other estheticians, educators all across the country so we can actually support one another and lean on each other and be able to give the information so then we don't have to have those oops moments, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Shamelessly, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you mentioned earlier about like creating a safe space for your community. And so segueing to the next question is, how do you ensure your brand is genuinely listening to and responding to and feedback from various communities?
You know, I really talk to my clients about most things business because I really like to hear their input and say, you know, this is what I did. How does that feel towards you? Or what would you think if you saw that? Or I posted that. Did you see it? Did it feel weird? So I try to stay in tune with everybody that way. And I take their criticism, critique, whatever it is, I take them all and will actively change whatever it is. Usually I don't have a lot, but like if somebody said, hey, I didn't like that, I'm the first person to be like, oh, we're changing it. We're not doing that again. Like, thank you for telling me. I think it's important to watch and listen. I think a lot of people just are like, oh, this is mine. I know what I'm doing. I know more than you. And it's like, no, there's still a lot that we could be learning at all times. And I think we kind of get, I don't know if it's like a rose colored glass or what, but when you're constantly working and trying to build this brand and trying to do everything in your power, you're only looking at things from a certain view. You know, you're not always looking at it from the consumer's view. Or if you are, you're looking at it from a certain type of consumer. You're not looking at it from everybody, you know? It's like we are always taught ideal clientele. Where get your ideal clientele. Pay attention to them. Envision them. What does that look like? That's who you're going for. So when we're building the brand, I think a lot of the time we're trying to look at it through their eyes. But it's like there's still other clients that might not fit that template, but they're still an ideal client, you know? And you're not even marketing to them a little bit.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So I'm hearing like just really staying approachable and being visible mm-hmm. and have active listening skills to just really listen to what people are saying to be able to and having a different pair of lens.
Yeah, exactly. Just different. I think it's beneficial to reach out to even your family or somebody who's close to you and say, hey, this is what I was thinking. How does that sound to you? As somebody who, and different levels, I think helps too. Maybe you reach out to somebody you know who does have money and can't afford it, but then you reach out to somebody who doesn't. What would you do? How would you feel about this? You know, and just the different takes.
Yeah, because ultimately, I think it comes down to like everybody's individual experience, like all skin color, all cultural, you know, things aside, like it is about individual experiences. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely. Of course, we're taking because all things might into consideration. But yeah, like everybody's individual experience is going to maybe look a little bit different. And you only know how to cater to that by listening and by asking questions. And so I think that's great.
Because it's all perception, right?
Exactly. Mm. And what made that person uncomfortable might also make that person or this person uncomfortable. And now I didn't know because nobody told me in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's like ways to actively change. And also having that or just staying humble, I think. I think our industry is very, for lack of a better word, like fetishized, you know? I think a lot of people look up to it where it's like, oh my God, you're in beauty. That's so cool. A lot of people don't know what we do with skin. They literally just come and lay down and just let us put all these potions and lotions on their face. So I true. Think it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. This, so this. And I think you can get to your head. I've seen it happen with all things cosmetology, hairdressers too. And it's like, okay, remember at the end of the day, we're still just people. And yes, we have our clients gassing us up, which is nice, but stay humble because those new clients who don't know you, as you're talking your shit and, you know, being the boss, they're not, you're already not approachable, and now they're not going to come, you know?
Right. Such a good point. Well, last question for you here. And you kind of touched on this earlier, but maybe you can just reiterate, but how can we encourage more diverse representation, you know, like behind the camera, and ensure that a variety of voices and perspectives are included in all processes?
Definitely collaborations. When you're collaborating with different people, maybe making sure that you're finding people who are in your community, whatever that community is. Again, when I was talking about the hairdressers I reach out to a lot of Black hairdressers, curly hairdressers, people like that. Then also, I think when it comes to if you are hiring in any way, having your team look like you that way too. I have a social media manager who, she's Brazilian. My assistant is Black and Mexican. So it's just nice having people who understand certain things, then also that them showing the world, yeah, this is, you know, more diverse. And also, I think, like, when you're highlighting that behind the scenes, also it's showing people, hey, this is what things are looking like. When you're looking for mentorship or different businesses you're gonna try to, like, get capital from, like, here we have Miso, which helps a lot, or small businesses a lot with getting money and helping with different business education. I just saw one the other day that helps small businesses, and it's completely female ran, and it's for women small businesses. So just, I think, purposely finding places like that where you're going to be able to find people who understand you a little bit more and also are going through the same struggles or have been through the same struggles.
Yeah. So just being intentional with building your team and who you're networking with is what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and close out the episode, Noelle. If you could just share some ways, best ways for people to find you, connect with you, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, where can we find you and connect with you?
Instagram is best at YouMatterBeautyPDX. You can find my website through, or YouMatterPDX.com is also my website. You can send us emails or you can book online that way too. But yeah, those two.
Are you accepting new clients?
I am currently accepting new clients.
Okay, cool. And then you can find me, Alina, on Instagram at True Skin Lab. Of course, follow Fearless Beauties on Instagram at Fearless Beauties.
And you can find me at Beauty by B, BEAPDX on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Noelle, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us. We hope you have a great holiday.
You too. Happy holidays. Have a great day. Thank you guys again.
Thank you for joining us. It was so nice catching up with you.
You too. I'm sure I'll see you soon. I do need to come to Spectrum and get a treatment. It is about time.
We'll be seeing you soon.